So Rabbi Isai, we are now on the 24th Cheshbon in the Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Oifin Chav Dalet. And the last week the Chav Zav has told us that a person has to open his eyes up and look at all the wonders of nature and the universe. And that is a tremendous source of Amunah. But most of us, he says, really are blind, and we are literally like robots. We don't see a thing. And his final statement was, "K'may shomer achad hachachamim, levavos hachachamim yesh lahem einayim. The hearts of the wise, the hearts have eyes. Behem im rayim es masha tip shemen im rayim beinayim. The hachachamim see with their mind's eye things that the fools don't see with their 20/20 vision. So we have to develop to look with our hearts. That's really makes the difference between a great person and a nobody or a small person. Great people have their eyes open, but they look through their hearts. Just like yesterday in the end of the parasha it said, "V'loisa suru achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem." That's my getaitcha up at the pasuk daket. That the heart is what determines what we see. Like Rashi says that the einayim are the sirsul alev. The eyes are the agents of the heart. So the eyes really see what the heart wants them to see. So if the heart has a taiva, the eyes already find what to see to make the heart happy with the taiva. The heart dictates the bad things we'll see. On the other hand, he says that if you want to see good things, it can only start from the heart. The heart of the wise have eyes, and they see things that the fools don't see with the best eyes, because their hearts want to see something else. Skimat does the pshat in the pasuk. That was the end of 23. 24 says, okay, there's only one problem. A person can say, well, you know, this rabbi is a very smart rabbi. He is so intelligent. You know, he knows biology. He knows astronomy. And he writes such great books on showing us the wonders of the Bria. Wow, that's great. I have to really set my mind. I got to learn how to look at the world differently. I got to really study science and study astronomy and study the world and history to learn spiritual Torah lessons. But, says the Chaz of Avos, then we just can't be exclusively into that. Because the real thing a person has to analyze and scrutinize is, of course, the Torah itself. And the problem with Torah, he says, is a big problem. A person can be learning his whole life, and he can be looking at the subjects of the Torah when he's 65 years old with the eyes of a 5-year-old. And we were introduced to the Torah early, and we sometimes look at Avram and Yitzhak, we got ideas in our mind what other Rishon was, and you have this time when you were 3-5 years old, you started learning Bereishis, so somehow you got in your mind that other Rishon looked like Tarzan. And then the Chav looks like Jane. And he's a jungle man or something, and wearing less than Tarzan. And the Gan Eden was like some kind of a jungle, and there's a real serpent, there's really snakes over there. And the whole story becomes a fairy tale. And the Rabbanu Shlom, we have a vision of God, something that some middle-age Renaissance painter painted a picture, and that's what the Rabbanu Shlom looks like. And we have these images in our mind, preconceived notions when we were kids, and we have to constantly, he says, restudy the stories of the Torah and even the halachas of the Torah in a mature fashion as our mind develops. Because he says, we learned that when the seichel was chalosh, we studied these very important subjects when our minds were very weak, and we don't understand in yonim adinim and amukim. We don't understand these very edel, very delicate, and very deep. They're delicate and very deep things, the way we understood them when we were younger. So now that sichloi kfar es bager, now that our minds have matured, and the more a person has seichel, the more a person has to go back and reapply his seichel. This was really a favorite theme in Slabodka. Slabodka, I think it was Rabbi Isaac Sher. He studied the Avos his whole life. Slabodka, I think that might get bigger. Rabbi Isaac Sher, I think, was studying the Avos again and again, and every year he had new Hasaga. In the Sefer, you see who Hugger was. Hugger, you think, is some kind of a... Look at Hugger. Hugger is some kind of a slave girl, you know. Hugger was some Egyptian girl, and she was cleaning the house. If you look at the Polisher lady that she hired, you look at Hugger, thinking she's the Egyptian equivalent of the Polish lady that you hired from the work agency. And that's what Hugger is. She's really on knees all day, mopping floors. And Avram takes her as a concubine, and then she rebels against Sarah. No, Hugger is a whole different thing. Hugger was a menahelis of a Beis Yaakov. Hugger was a very wise, intelligent lady. Hugger was a lady who was steeped in understanding the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. She was once a princess, as Rashi says, and she gave it up to become the slave of the Shivcha of Sarah. This Shivcha doesn't mean. Shivcha means is the equivalent, like it says, Yeshua was Vesharis Moshe, that a student is not enough to study. You have to physically serve your Rebbe and get close to him and observe him in all situations and surrender yourself, not just in your mind, but body and soul. You have to surrender to the Rebbe like Yeshua's Mesharis Moshe. That's how Hugger was a Shivcha to Sarah. Not a Shivcha, some domestic help over here from the ages that speak English, and she's looking for a green card because she comes from Honduras. No. Hugger was a princess. Hugger was highly educated, and she was a very spiritual lady. She gave it all up to serve Sarah. But she had a flaw. Arrogant. She didn't 100% accept Sarah, so that's the story. But it's not that she was a lowly person. She was a great person, but they had a difference of opinions and a parting of ways. So you have to look at it differently, he says. And everything is, when you were kids, they told you Shivchas Hugger. So when we're 5-year-old kids, you can't explain this to a 5-year-old kid. Like a 10-year-old, maybe. So you have to look at every story of the Torah all over again. This is a chiyuv. She says, don't, and the same thing in learning, in halacha. Shabbos has to be different. Shabbos, you get older. The muktzah is a different muktzah. The navi is a different. Yeshaya is a different Yeshaya. You have to learn everything. Kilo lelamaya to oisam afpam. You have to learn everything as if you never learned before. You have to start all over again. That's the beauty of being Ma'aser Sedra. That's the beauty of the Torah. It's unbelievable. The same textbook, which is a textbook for a 3-year-old kid, is Dr. Chumash. The textbook for the 93-year-old Gadol HaDor, they have the same textbook every year, and the same Navi, and the same Mishlei, the same everything. It's very dangerous not to change. God, a person has to change. Well, can I give me a Mishlei over there? There's a Mishlei. Nah. So, this is very important. And the same thing with davening, he says. Davening, oh, that we really messed. He says, we messed it up very badly. We learned a little bit about davening when we were young. And the Mishnah Berurah says, don't bring those kids to shul till they can daven properly, because otherwise you bring the kids to shul to teach them how to talk in shul. Because the first thing the kids can learn in shul is he drinks his little square box over there, and he can play, and he can make noise, and make trouble, and make a mess, and throw tissues on the floor. So whatever you teach the kid, the first thing in shul remains for the rest of his life. So the Mishnah, don't bring a kid that's going to make noise and make a mess, because that will stay for him forever. But even if the child learns, he comes to shul, what does he know about davening? He learned his little Shiloh Siddur, and they taught him a little something, but he doesn't look at it properly. So you have to learn davening all over again. Every year you have to study the Siddur again, and you have to think of the signum, look at every word, look at the style, look at the content, and when you speak the words, understand what you're saying, ask questions. So it's very important. Don't be knowing these ways like you would know when you were a cotton. You just said the words in your mouth and I understand what you're talking about. And you weren't makbid on kloli adikduk. And also you weren't makbid on milel, milra, shvanah, shvanach. And all the mistakes. It's like unbelievable. You know, that we have the Pharaoh fairy. You know, there's the Pharaoh fairy. Because every kid who sings down the mirror says, pe'eru alai, who pe'eru alav. Instead of pe'eri alai, right? How's it going now? I'm getting myself bevulvul by the payroll fairy. So every kid in America, yesterday a kid came to the shul, he was not even to the shul, and every attack became a mistake in Gan's Kalal Yisrael, and no one says it right. And even I'm getting confused. So when they get, I don't know what it is, they get the Ospei, and reads Peiro Alai, God's pair is on me, Upeiri Allah. But every kid reads it, Peiri Alai, Peiri Alai, Upeiri Allah. My glory is on me and my glory is on God. No, it's supposed to be Peiro Alai, God's pair is on me, God's glory is on me, and my glory I give over to God. The Karov Elai, the Kari Elav. And God's close to me when I call him. Now, who of us, adults, has ever actually taken time, maybe at the Shabbos table, sit down and say to our kids, hey, you know, maybe we should learn Avos Amiras at the table. Let me tell you what it's all about. So the kid sings it very nicely, and maybe a nice tune to it. No one has a clue what it means. It's not a great, it's called the Shir HaKavod. It is the song of glory to Hashem. And Anim Zemiros, I will give forth the most blissful songs, the Shirim E'erog, and I will yearn through beautiful melodies, Ki Elecha Nafshi Tarog, because my heart is crying out for you. Or Shirim E'erog, I will weave together new melodies, and Ta'arog is Nayan, Arog means Taka, to passionately cry out. Nafshi Chamda B'tzel Yodecha, my heart yearns to be under the shadow of your hands. Lo das kol roz soidecha, know all the secrets of your mysteries. Say in English, it's a whole different thing. It's a fantastic song. But children, I mean, that was the first thing. I remember going to shul singing Avos Amiras. I was a champion Avos Amiras. I was 5 years old, I was singing Avos Amiras. I was great. I had many naguna for it. But I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't have a clue what I'm saying. So when I get older, I've been singing it now for many, many years. And I never bothered studying it myself. Don't think I study it. So says the Chavis Levavus, you know, the ending of davening with Avos Amiras. How about Adon Olam? Who Adon Olam? It's a Gavalt Gazach. Even Modani. Who thinks about Modani? He says, well, 1 second, think about it a little bit. Modani. Think about Reishis Chachma Yeres Hashem. Think about Birkas HaTorah. Every day we lose opportunities. Mamash, if we say Birkas HaTorah properly, we learn differently. Ahava Rabba. The Birkas HaShachar. Because of Shachar, he says you have to study them all over again, what they're talking about and how to say it properly. So it's very important. And it says the same thing in Torah Baal Peh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Kiddush Mishnayos Baal Peh, great thing, but again they just read it and they don't understand what they're talking about. So you have to understand what it is and you have to review it again when you're older. So a person that spends his entire life reviewing according to the new level of his mind's maturity. So, he says, people, why don't people do this, he says, Al-Tifata Yischa Gavoscha. It is our gaiva, our arrogance, that seduces us and says, you know, I was always smart. At 5 years old, I already understood this davening already. And there's not much more you can teach me, you know. I'm a very smart kid. And don't tell me, Rabbi, that I have to go over it again. I'm okay. I understand what I'm talking about. And you're always criticized. Even davening, I don't do it right. You know, give me some credit for something, Rabbi. You may be coming out more. I can't learn the halacha. I don't know the sif and shulchan aruch. I can't learn the mishnah. Even davening, I don't know. Listen, I know. And he says, no. He says, this machshava that I know everything already is one of the great seductions of the Eitzahara, because he wants to weaken our hands that we shouldn't be ma'ayin. We shouldn't scrutinize and study the MS again and again and again. He wants to teach us that we're chachamim gemurim, like we were born brilliant. We're brilliant. And the minute I hit day school, I already was smart. I know. I'm not missing very much. I'm okay. So the guy who never cracked the gemara in the last couple of years, he was in yeshiva. He left yeshiva and he was maybe 19. So to this day, he's already 59 years old, and he hasn't really learned the gemara properly in 40 years. But he summoned from the fact that he got a 99 on the last Gemara test when he was in Yeshiva. When he was 14 years old, he says, no, what do you mean? I don't learn Gemara. Yeah, of course, I just learned about two Masechtas in my life, maybe. And I learned 20 blot in each of them. And I learned a couple of Mishnayos, but I don't know how to learn. So he figures, this person, the average person figures, what I know is really more than what I don't know. And if I would just, you know, when I retire a little bit, I have to catch up a little bit. I have a few little Masechtas to catch up on. And a few more Mishnayos, and I know it all already. And Tanakh, Nishkefelah. So the guy this, as the Chavad Levav, is that somehow we convince ourselves when you're young that I'm on the road. I know a lot already. I know a lot. I really know so much. It's only a little bit. Nishkefelah. I have time. The truth of the matter is that us senior citizens, we discovered, as a matter of fact, that this idea that when I retire, I'm going to get smart suddenly. Even if it would happen, You would happen that when you're 55 or 60, you're 60, you'll retire at 60. It's very good. If you retire at 60, you know what? You might have a much better mind. The mind definitely matures, but you're tired quickly. You really don't have the koyach and the stamina anymore. It's hard to sit in the base manager all day. Like when you're a bucket, you can sit from 9:30 to 1:30 in the morning for a Seder, then from 3 o'clock to 7:30 second Seder, and then come back at night from 9 till 11:30 third Seder, and then still have time for something else, and then get up in the morning. When you get older, you just can't do that. Nobody can keep that kind of a Seder. The only person I know can do that, only Shmuel Birnbaum can do that. Shmuel Birnbaum should live and be well, the Mirror Yeshiva. He's better than Yeshiva Bacher. He doesn't waste a second. He learns, you want to be a Sarah Kedushim, Yeshiva Sarah Kedushim. He's not going to come to your chazan until at least 8:30 at night, till the end of second Seder. He puts in a full first Seder, puts in a full second Seder, I don't know what he does at night. And Sarah Kedushim, only when Seder is over. So next time someone invites you to a chazan, they ask him, who's Masada Kedushim? It's if the Mirror Yeshiva, don't even bother coming till about 8:45. You're not going to miss a thing. He won't be there. He won't be there till late. So, but the most people, they get older, like he said, you have to study it over again. But listen, give yourself a lot of time. Because you just don't have the koyach anymore. You don't have the koyach. And and the truth of the matter is, he says, that the real reason why people don't chazer, and the reason why people don't review, and they don't learn it again, is not just their gaiva, it's also their atzlus, it's their laziness. Like it says in Mishlei Chavav, Chacham Otzel Be'enav, Meshiva Meshivei Toam. The Otzel is smart in his brain, smarter than seven excuse givers. So the lazy person is a genius at one thing, coming up with excuses. The lazy person, instead of learning, instead of using his mind to learn creatively, he comes up with creative excuses, creative apologies. Why I can't learn, why I have no time, why I don't really need to, I know it already, to waste my time, and I gotta learn other things now, and it's about time, like Chavzo said earlier, in a few earlier meditations, you know, Rabbi, I learned the Gemara already, I learned poetry already, it's not about poetry talking, I learned some Jewish philosophy. I had enough of this Gemara stuff, and this Mishnah stuff, and Shulchan Aruch, it's time for philosophy. You know, I got on Jewish history from now on. I like Jewish history. I have a friend who was a very lazy guy. He never wanted to learn yeshiva. He didn't learn yeshiva. Lazy guy. But when he heard that there's history tapes, this is it. This guy, history, I just listened to my car to the tapes. And I learned how I was good. I was my kviyas in learning every day. I listened to the history tapes. This is great. I can just listen. No one's telling me what to do. There's no finals, there's no exams. So come up to Shemayim. I tell him, what'd you learn? I listened to the history tapes. It's very nice. But the tired kumt is nisht. So the Otzel, Chacham, Otzel, Beinov, the Otzel is wise in his own eyes, smarter, Meshiva, Meshiva Tom, than seven great wise men in the way he comes up with excuses. And another thing Shlomo says right next to that in chapter 26, Ra'isi Ish Chacham Beinov, if you see a man who's wise in his own eyes, he calls himself wise. You know I'm smart? Because I gave myself smicha. So the Ra'isi Ish Chacham Beinov, Tikva L'Ksil V'Menu, there's more hope for the fool than for him. Because this guy thinks he's so smart, he decided in his mind he's smart, he branded himself smart. This person, there's no hope for this person. Because he's not going to listen to anybody. Now, he concludes and says something which is mamash gevaltik. And this is what he said. This is a pshat. I'm not sure what the mother before should say. He says, listen to this. It says in Koheles Perek Beis Pasuk Yudalit, HaChocham Einav Beroshoi. Chocham, famous pasuk. HaChocham Einav Beroshoi. The wise man has his eyes in his head. That's profound. What does that mean? What does it mean, HaChocham Einav Beroshoi? Where else should his feet? Should it be in his feet? Where is it? His chest? HaChocham, where's your eyes, by the way? I guess everyone here must be very smart, because I see everyone's head. Isn't there, your eyes are in your head, your eyes are in your head. I guess we're all Chachamim. Gee, that's really amazing. I think we visited the state penitentiary, or we visited the loony bin. I think we're going to find everybody has their eyes in their head also. So what's shot in the Koheles? HaChocham Einav Beroshoi. Chaim, you're a smart guy. What does it mean? What's Chocham Einav Beroshoi mean? What does that mean? The wise man has his eyes in his head. Well, that's biology 101, that eyes belong in your head. So what's the shot? Chocham Einav Beroshoi.
You have a Kohelet, do you have a Chumash, then you have Chumash. What does it mean, Chacham and Verosho? I don't know what this means. Any old Chumash will do. No, they were a Rashi. Give me a Rashi, not an art school. I said a Chumash. A real, you know, steak and potatoes Chumash, you know. Real Chumash. What does it mean, Chacham and Verosho? Here we have a whole bunch of guys with their eyes in their heads, no one's giving me shot. I don't know. What? You're thinking what you're seeing. Your eyes are in your head. What you see, you put into your head, you analyze in your head.
That's not always what you see. You gotta think it through.
You gotta think it through. Beis Yudal, I got a problem. He says, Beis Yudal. Chochem Averosho. Vaksil Bechoshecholech. The fool goes in darkness, and the wise man, his eyes are in his head. What does Rashi say, Pshat? Chochem Averosho? Ah, so Rashi is very nice. Pshat. Rashi says this means Ezul Chacham Arelus Anoyla, which means that in the beginning, his eyes are open and he sees what will be in the end. So Chacham Ein Avrosha, from the beginning, from the very beginning, he keeps his eyes open. So if he gets into the business deal, he already knows that there's room for trouble, and so his eyes are already open. What's going to be the end? So some gentlemen came to me last week, strangers. They said, Rabbi, we're coming to a big business deal, and writing a contract. You know what? We realize that there's inevitable, you have partners, you get into trouble. There's always a misunderstanding with two people. We like each other very much today, but we're writing a contract, but you never know. So what we want to do is, we want to go over the contract with the Rav, and go over in detail, and explain it to you, and we'll give you a copy of it, and we're going to sign that in the future, if there's any misunderstanding, we'll follow the Rav. And in this way, we avoid problems in the future, because right away we built in, we know that in the beginning everything is hunky-dory, everything is rosy, it looks like the partnership with the best friends, we love each other. But we know that partnerships tend to always have some misunderstandings and difference of opinion, so from day one we're signing on that we're going to do this contract, I'll das the rub, whatever he says. So that's very good protection, that's a very good idea. Not a bad idea, it'd be better if you want to abase them, but if you want, we can do it that way. So Raj learns Chacham and Rosh, in the beginning, he sees, in the beginning, his eyes are open right from the start, he doesn't get enamored. Oh, this guy's a great person. I'm going to invest my money in this great thing. I'll invest my money with this guy. Sounds great. How many people invest their money in this great stock with this great bank option thing? And in the end, they're fighting like cats and dogs. They're killing each other. The guy's a crook. Because the fellow was so greedy that he didn't keep his eyes open from the beginning. His heart was open for a desire, for greed, for making a lot of money. But his eyes didn't see. You gotta protect yourself. You gotta watch out. So that's a rational shot. But that's not how the Chavos Levavos, who was also a Rishon Lerner's Pshat, he says, Chachamena Bereishoi Kloimar, HaChacham Istakel Achoiranis El Reishis Avoroi. He says, the Chacham always looks back at the beginning. Chachamena Bereisha means where he is today. Today he's 45 years old. He doesn't say, well, I'm 45 years old, and here I am. And I have to live in the present. So all my psychobabble books, all my pep talk book says, you gotta live in the present. You gotta live in the present. No, says Shlomo Melech, you gotta live in the past. The Chacham always looks at the past, and he thinks about the past life, what he went through in the past, and he checks everything he did in the past. Number one, he checks, like I told you before, what I learned when I was a child. I say, you know, I learned as a child, my concept of Erev Avinu was one, Lot. Who's Lot? Who's Nimrod? Who's Moshe? When I throw in the child, I have to rethink it. I have to rethink how I do Negel Vasa in the morning. I've been doing Negel Vasa the same way. Is this how Pi Alach I'm doing? Tzitzis. Am I doing tzitzis the right way in the morning? I did it since I was a little kid. I'm putting on tzitzis right. Do I do it right to make an atif in the morning? I make the brachas properly. Put my tefillin on. I was a mitzvah bug. I put on tefillin. Maybe one day, my father taught me one day, wrapped it on me. The second I did it myself, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe since I'm a mitzvah bug, I'm putting my tefillin on wrong. Let me think. Maybe go over here, tefillin. Maybe I'm doing something right over here. Maybe even, who knows? Maybe I'm making the brachas properly the right way. I was a kid, my mitzvah. I was all nervous. I wasn't even thinking. I was thinking about reading my parsha. So I got to go over the whole thing again. So the Chacham and Bereisha always looks to the past and figures out ways to improve his life. But even more than that, the Pasuk is telling us this is really the sort of real psychology, and that is that the past never leaves us. This is what he's saying, the mistakes of the past, unless they're addressed, will never leave a person. When you're looking at a person in the present, So the Vassar is a man with a beard, and he has gray in his beard, and he looks like a very nice guy with a big velvet yarmulke. But the truth is that underneath that adult, inside that adult, there's a big child, and that child has all kinds of things going on in the child, and all kinds of problems, and all kinds of issues that the child picked up when he was a little child, dealing with his parents, his caretakers, his siblings, his world. And our attitudes today and our actions today are totally controlled by our past. The past is alive and well. The past is more powerful in determining our reactions today than our present. So the way you react to anything today, you react to teachers today, you react to your children's teachers. So this teacher is a nice principal. But you react, the way you treat this principal, you think about the principal, if they think they're smart or stupid or intelligent or trustworthy, it all depends how you treat your own principal or your own teachers. So if you are a program that teachers are your enemy, so every time you have a school, you're going to look at the teachers as the enemy. You have the most wonderful school in the world, you're going to have a suspicion of the teachers. You hated the principal, you were a kid, it's going to go with you the rest of your life. Or if you had a big kid in your life, that was a bully when you were a little kid. When you were a little kid, some big kid bullied you. So whenever you see a big kid, you'll tell your friend, you tell your son, stay away from the big kids. They're all no good. Maybe the big kid's the best kid in the school. He's a tzaddik. He's soft. He's fine. No, big kids, watch out for the big ones. The big ones are dangerous. They're the bullies. Why do you say that for? The big kid's the most wonderful kid. I don't like that kid. He's too big. Looks grub. I don't know. He just looks grub. You know, I'll never forget, there was a guy I once met who had big ears. I just didn't like this guy from day one. He had big ears. I grew up, I guess, big ears with Mickey Mouse or something. Big ear people are stupid. Dumbo, the elephant had big ears. I don't know. When I was a kid, big ears, bad sign. So I always stay away from the guy with big ears. But then I got to know the fellow. He turned out to have a very big heart and a very big mind and a very big neshama. But of course, my prejudice against big ears didn't allow me to appreciate this person because when I was a kid, big ears, for some reason, were no good. And that, my friend, these little examples are very trite examples. There's much deeper examples. The fact is that there's so much that we picked up when we were young, attitudes and opinions and all kinds of things. And he says, you cannot be a real chacham until it's einav b'roishai. You have to go back to your earliest life. Not only do you have to study the Torah you learned when you were a child, and the davening, but you have to study yourself. What you picked up when you were a child from your parents. And if your parents are Holocaust survivors, you picked up a set of all kinds of things from the Holocaust survivors, the whole studies of children of Holocaust survivors acting a certain way, and they have their special mishigasim, and their special problems, and it's very hard to get rid of them, and you have to work on it. And if your parents were this, it's like that. The parents went through the depression, another kind of attitudes. It's, parents went through depression, it's a different kind of a thing. And different kinds of families, and families, every family has its own different heritage and all kinds of different attitudes. And I see diaries of people who are balikas, that goes from generation to generation. People have bad temper. In my short lifetime, I should live hopefully long, but I've identified three generations of balikas. When I was a kid in shul, I saw this man, the father, when I was a little child, when I was 10 years old, the father was always getting upset and screaming. Then when I got older, I was friendly with his son that was my age. Terrible cause. Then I know this son's children. Like it's direst and direst of midas ra'as that goes. And I'd like to see the great grandchildren now. I've lost contact with the person, but it like goes from generation to generation. Attitudes says Shlomo HaMelech Chacham Eina Veroisha. If you want to be smart, you have to recheck your past. But the Ksil. The Ksil goes in darkness. He says the past, there's a curtain on the past that doesn't make a difference anymore. You have to live in the present. You have to live in the future. Well, of course, you really should live in the present. And you should deal with the issues of the past. Once you finish dealing with your past, and you take care of what has to be taken care of, then you can live in the present, and then you can live in the future. But you can't neglect the past, because it lives inside us. So he says, if Merakes, Mabot, he says, the fool is Merakes, Kol Mabotai, Rakshiyesh Lufana. He only looks at what's in front of his nose. But it's not Shaykh. So, even people call for Shaduchim, you know, what's the story about this person? You can't just look at the person today. There's a whole past. It's not Pashat. It looks very nice today. But what's inside the person? What's going on inside this person over here? You can't just say, B'chayshech, the whole past is in darkness. So he says, and Kishon Mel says also,
Yisun Ha'or Min HaChoshech. He said, I found that there is the advantage of wisdom over stupidity, over foolishness, is like the difference between light and darkness. The fool wants to keep everything in the dark. He wants all the skeletons to stay in the closet. The fool says, don't check out the past. I'm embarrassed. Please, I'm ashamed. I don't want to deal with it. It's too painful. And the fool says, don't bother me with my past. I forget. I did tshuva. I'm about tshuva. I'm a new person. Let me go onward. You really did tshuva? That's not called tshuva. You know what? If we just did tshuva spiritually properly, what it means to do tshuva. But many others says, when you're doing tshuva, real tshuva, it's like a garment that had a big ink stain in it. You wash it once, so the ink stain fades a little bit. That's a deep stain. In order to get that stain out, you gotta put some more Mr. Clean again, and more Mr. Clean again, you have to wash it again, and again, and again. So you come to shul, I'm about tshuva, and it's without, you didn't clean anything with that. There you stomp plopple. It's garnished. But even if you amend Hashem, even if you cry, Hashemnu, I destroyed myself, Bagadnu, I betrayed God, I betrayed my friends, I betrayed myself, oh, Bagadnu, Rabbanishnu, Bagadnu, 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 if you meant it, then you cried, and you felt bitter about it, man says, one wash is going to get it out. The stain is so deep, if one wash is going to get it out. And what if the stain was such a corrosive stain that the mamash ate through the material and there's a big hole over there? So what are you going to do now? You have a hole in the neshama. You have to reweave it. You know, when you have a hole in a good garment, you have to go to the weaver, and with the micro weaving, you have to reweave it. So the tshuva is not enough, you have to clean it out. You got to reweave, you got to reconstruct it. It's a reconstructive process. And someone gets the face smashed in, Rahman's done. So you have to plastic surgery, you have to reconstruct the whole face. So Hashemnu, we destroyed ourselves with our virus. You think that's going to be you know, have a reconstructive plastic surgery. You put a good mask on, so we're all going around. That's a Gansi or Purim. It's a Gansi or Purim. Everybody's a Purim spiel the whole year. So a Feilich and Purim. So we did tshuva. We do tshuva. We went to the yeshiva and we bought a mask called the yeshiva. It comes with a mask. The kid comes with a borsalino on top. Comes with a pair of glasses. You have to have a pair of glasses. Nice beard. Pay us for good effect. Good pay us. Good effect. Nice. Yeah, Shane, and like my shver said, once he was in Sada Kedushin, and there was a yid, and you know, the Sada Kedushin always tells the Adam to do tshuva. So yid was a long, a balabatish yid, a pashta yid, and tells the yid Adam should do tshuva. Straightens his beard, says, yeah, tshuva getan, yeah. Beard straight now, the tshuva, they're fine. So tshuva, you know, so we put on a nice mask, a Gansi or Purim, we look very from, very nice, very serious, very nice, very, the rabbi, whenever the rabbi speaks to him, very serious, listen very carefully, then your shir look very good. So when he asks about Shaduchim, I say, oh yeah, that guy's great. He comes to my shir, he pays such close attention, and we have the whole masquerade, but underneath, we take the mask off, there was never any plastic surgery done. The old smashed in face is still there. The old broken attitudes are still there. All the bitterness from the past is still there. All the negativity, all the hatred, all the problems are still there. It's all there. All the gaiva is still there. All the taiva is still there. Nothing has changed. We put a nice mask on. And that's his tshuva. It's nothing. Because the beginning was nice for starters. Because it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror right away. You don't want to be a mensch. So you're looking to see the horrible, grotesque grimace of our past. We get so scared, who knows what would be, we die from shock. So okay, so we start off, you know, you gotta put some gauze pads over the burn victim, Rachman al-Islam, you know, to heal, to soothe. But then you start taking off the gauze bandage and you gotta start doing transplants, skin grafts, and you gotta do plastic surgery. So says Shlomo HaMelech, you can't forget the past. The past is living within us 100%. It's just, what we have today is only a mask. Chacham Einav Bereish. The Chacham looks to the past and knows that the past lives very much inside of him. Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a Gemara Kedushin on that. We want to get a Gemara Kedushin on that table. There's a Gemara Kedushin. I'll conclude with Gemara and Kedushin on Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi, two weeks ago, Daf Yomi on Daf Chavdal in the days. Thank you. The Gemara says, a Gevaltig Yisai. The Gemara says that if a person goes over to an animal, right, and he makes a loud noise, and he gets the animal scared. So then, the halacha is that he's responsible. You make a loud noise, you scare an animal, and that the animal gets so shocked that the animal loses its hearing, or loses, or gets confused because of that, and you cause the damage, then you're responsible. But, says the Gemara, that if a person would go over to a human being, if he hit the human being on his ear, or you hit him on his eye, and you blinded him, or you made him deaf, then you're chayav. But says the Gemara, if you went over to the wall, and you made a big loud blast by the wall, a big bang at the wall, and you scared the person, and because of that the person got so terrified that mamash they lost their hearing, or they lost their vision, they got so shocked by this, hamavis is chaveiro, you scared your friend, so you're potter, you're not chayav. So why aren't you chayav? If you scared an animal, you're chayav. If you scared a man, why aren't you chayav? So the Gemara says, Yesod, the Gemara says, Shani Adam the Bardasu. A human being is different because he's intelligent, he has a brain. Animals have no brains, everything is instinct. So the animal just reacts instinctively. If you scared the animal, you did a loud noise, you scared the animal, then it's instinctive that it just reacts, that it can just blow its mind instinctively. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It's not a matter of choice. But a human being has a choice. A human being is a bardas. Hai nizik, he says, the nizik is a bardas, v'chi mivis, and when he gets terrified, and because of the terror, the shock, he is mentally affected, and some part of his brain is affected, that he loses his hearing, loses his eyesight, rachman l'slam, v'chi mivis, when he gets terrified, midaitik of it, it's his own intelligent decision. Shenoisein libay al pachat koil haba pisam, because he paid attention, he particularly paid attention to the pachat of the sound that he heard, and therefore he scared himself. Right to the fork. What's the pshat? That a human being, two people hear the same thing, and they'll react totally differently. So if I tell one person, you know, the Yankees lost the World Series. So one guy's a big Yankee fan, this will be terrible. It'll be an avelos. Just people, I mean, go, I'm always crying. Tell the Yankees won the World Series, people scream for joy. They go rioting in the fields. They go crazy. They go wild. If you tell me that the Yankees won or lost, I couldn't care less. It means absolutely nothing to me. So how come to this person, the Yankees is a mamish life and death, and to me, it means that, to you, it means absolutely nothing, because in his mind, he's programmed his mind, the Yankees are very important, and the Jets are very important, these things are very important, and he's willing to pay thousands of dollars for tickets, and it's not shayach, and if they lose, it's mamish Tisha B'Av. If you tell him it's Tisha B'Av, he couldn't care less. So he has no tzar on Tisha B'Av, he has tzar for the Yankees. And I bought have tzar for the Tisha B'Av, and I have no tzar for the Yankees. So what gives me tzar, what gives me pain, what doesn't give me pain, is totally in my mind. It makes no difference. So, if you tell a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael today, a person in Eretz Yisrael today, if you will light a firecracker next to somebody's house today, in Eretz Yisrael, the person will go nuts. He'll think it was a bomb. If I hear firecrackers here in Muncie, 4th of July is coming soon, we'll go look at it. Be great. I love the firecrackers and chayach. You want to see fireworks? It's all today. A kid hears a siren, he gets petrified. We hear a siren, it's the Shabbos siren here from the Vishnitz or Satmar. Doesn't mean anything. It's all a siren triggers off the kid 10 years ago when the siren's going off from Saddam Hussein. There's people, kids were brought up during the Gulf War, and when they heard a siren, they knew they have to go into these sealed rooms. The siren was terrifying. For the rest of their life, they hear a siren, it triggers something about them, their heart starts falling. But you and I, what does a siren mean? Well, I never had any bad experience with a siren. So a siren means a tzolob wig, and maybe the worst. Okay, it's not, what does it do with me? And the siren can mean Erev Shabbos, the siren. What's the big deal? You know, if I see a police car with the lights flashing behind me, that does something to me, Taka. That means something to me. But if a person comes from China and he never saw a police car in America, and he doesn't know that whirling thing over there behind him, he's getting a ticket 25 miles an hour. I say, oh, very nice American car, lights, very good, like Chinese New Year, very, very nice. We take these back to very good. We take these back for the new dragon here. I like these lights, very pretty. So, but him, the lights are very pretty lights. Doesn't mean it's great. He loves those lights on the police car. And with me, I see the police car lights, I cringe. Help! Let me out of here. I don't want to see those lights. Not that I've ever gotten a ticket, of course, but just the thought of it, the mere thought, puts me into a great anxiety. I get anxiety. I start sweating, and I have great physiological reaction to this. So everybody reacts differently to these kind of things. Yeah, actually, I did once get a ticket talk about 20 years ago, and ever since I saw those lights then, that's what did it. I wasn't even such a kid. You see that once in your life you get a ticket with the guy behind you, that's why I'm so scared of those lights to this very day. So the decision whether or not I'm going to be scared or happy is all depending what's inside me from a long time ago. So Rashi says that if a person gets scared, so one person will go deaf, never from a loud voice, the other person, nothing's going to happen. And why? Because it's my decision. Again, the Rashi is Meridik. It's Meridik Rashi. Shani Adam the Bardas, so a person is different. Chimivis, when a person gets terrified and shocked, midaite chimivis is his own decision. From his own mind, he gets petra scared. Shenoisin liboy, because he paid attention more than the other fellow, el pachat koil haba pisom, it caught his attention, this sudden loud voice, and it made an impact on him. But if he wouldn't decide, it's his decision though to get excited by it. If he didn't, it wouldn't have such an effect on him. So therefore, the person who did it is not responsible for the nezek. So therefore, Shlomo Melech says, the chacham keeps his eyes on his past. He realized the past is still there. The things that scare us, the things that we're scared of, the things that don't allow us to grow, the things that won't allow us to mature to go further in life, it all comes to the past. You have to first study your past all over again, and then you're free to go to the future. So we're holding here in the 25th Cheshvan of the Chayvus Halavavus, and the Cheshvan is a very important one. He says a person make a cheshbon that our heart harbors inside of it two loves, and these are opposing loves. They are tzara zu lazu. They are mamish, absolute competitors and rivals. And that is that we entertain in our hearts a love for Olam Hazeh, and the love for Olam Haba. At least we profess a love for Olam Haba. So there's a constant seesaw in our heart. If we would really monitor ourselves, we'd see that the temperature goes up and down. And it's like, mamash, like the thermostat that you have on your wall, which has heating and cooling and off. This thermostat is either hot or cold. It's never off. So either we're hot for Olam Hazeh and cool for Olam Haba, or hot for Olam Haba and cool for Olam Hazeh. But the Chavos Lavavos' main point he wants to make is that the balance is so incredibly precise that it's mamash a seesaw. Just as a seesaw, the minute you go down, the other side must go up. So too, the same thing, the minute you go down in your love for Olam Hazeh, that guarantees that your love for Olam Haba is going up. And the minute you go up in your love for Olam Hazeh, I think Olam Haba is going down. It's an exact, precise calculation. So he says, a person should, so what are you supposed to do? He says, for this, a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh, and figure out which is more important. It's like a person has two houses, and he has a vacation house, and he has a permanent house. So avada, vacations are very important, but the vacation house up in a luxury village someplace in the Catskills, in luxury land, so it's very important, that house, and you gotta get away. But it's only a getaway. It's not your real home. And so if something goes wrong there, avada, it's important to fix. But it's more important to fix up your permanent house where you're living all the time. So a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh, which is more important, olam hazeh or olam haba. And when, of course, olam haba is more important. And here he says, one day, I really believe that there. One of these days I have to sit down, this wouldn't be too hard. I must sit down, at least make a list. Stam would be about 100 of them. A list of the most poignant, pithy statements of the Chavis Lavavas. His Maimer HaChachams. He says, the Chacham Echad says, so here it is, this you'll know the makor of it. It's in Cheshbon HaNefesh, Perek Gimel, Cheshbon 25. K'may Shomar Echad HaChachamim, K'shem Shein HaMayim Ve'esh, Yechoyim Limotze Yachad, B'Kli Echad, just as fire and water cannot possibly coexist. There's no coexistence of fire and water. So too you can't have in the same heart an equal love for Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It can't be. Because the water of Olam Hazeh will extinguish the fiery passion for Olam Haba. It can't live together. And the more you have the fire for Olam Haba, it's going to dehydrate and dry out the water, which is Olam Hazeh. Water is Maishif, you know. I think I told you once, there's big tzaddikim, don't drink water. Believe it or not, they drink other liquids. They drink wine, they'll drink schnapps, they'll drink juice. They don't drink water. Because water represents taiva. Since water covers everything, water covered the earth originally. So water represents taiva. So they don't drink water. Water is meshichas a taiva. So you can't have...